Welcome to Mike M's Weekly Reads Heroes Con Spotlight for 2018. And I had a great time. It was a great vacation. I didn't want to come back. It was pretty relaxed too. Every year I spend less and less time at the con, but more and more time with friends outside of the con. It's very interesting. This year I went with a lot of intention to not buy any commissions and just focus on getting some back issues, and I ended up getting some stuff. So this year we arrived early. We did like the late midnight. Came in on Wednesday at midnight, so because we thought, hey, we'd get a whole day on Thursday just to relax and then maybe do some stuff with Micah and Claire. Who had just recently been down to Colorado Springs, and they live in that area. So we got in really late. The plane ride was kind of rough because we had to wait for a long time to leave. But everything, I think we only arrived like half hour late, so it wasn't a big deal. We got a cab right away, got to there, checked in. Got into our hotel room, and it's a pretty quiet night. Went to bed right away because I didn't sleep on the plane, which is very unusual, but it was a later flight. I actually didn't read comics on the flight either. That's a first. So what I did do on the flights was I watched TV. I watched stuff. Before I went, I downloaded some stuff on my Netflix iPad. And I downloaded The Toys That Made Us season 2, and I really enjoyed that on the flight over. I really thought, and we're in realms that I don't care about. So this season was Star Trek. That one I care about. Transformers, don't give a shit about that franchise. What was the other one? Oh, Lego. I appreciate Lego, but I'm not really much of a fan other than I like building the things, the sets with my niece. And I enjoyed them as a kid, but I'm not real big on Lego. And the other one was Hello Kitty, which don't give a crap about that. But I ended up watching the first two episodes on the way over, which the first episode was Star Trek. Really great episode. I loved the episode. Because it talked about their failure to make good toys. It was very interesting. And how Mego like bought the toys for like $5,000, the license, and then made millions off of it. And then the guy went to prison for some kind of like tax fraud. So it was very interesting. But it was cool how the toys just didn't hit it. And the guy had the Star Trek license. When it went to Mego, that's where it succeeded quite a bit with the dolls and the play sets. But it was like the only place that it really hit it until Playmates got it later. And Barb was very much into Star Trek, so when in high school I was buying her the Playmates toys. She still has all of them in boxes in the basement, and we have a lot of those Playmates figures that they were talking about. That was a successful franchise because Playmates did some franchises that we collected. We did Star Trek, they did Dick Tracy, which I think I have all the figures except some of the rare ones. I like that movie and I like Dick Tracy, so I bought the Playmates. And then they had the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and I did buy those. But I wasn't huge on them, so I just bought like the key characters. At some point in time, I'll podcast about what I have. But that was a great documentary. I enjoyed the hell out of it. Great way to chill out and watch something. It made the flight go by faster when it was actually flight time. And then I started watching the second episode, which is Transformers, which is very interesting because I learned a lot. I learned that I always knew it came from Japan, but what I didn't know is how much work they did. They did all the engineering and work of these Transformers. Harley's doing some weird shit right now. I don't know what the fuck she's doing. But whatever it is, it's funny. But Transformers was entertaining in that, learning that, and then how much Marvel Comics played a part in it by naming the characters and building a universe and a story around these Transformers. So the United States kind of built the property as what they were in the story behind them with the help of Marvel Comics, and all the engineering of the robots was done in Japan. A really interesting story. So I watched documentaries on the way over, and then I started watching Justice League again because I liked the movie so much. And I don't think I got to finish the whole thing, but I watched most of it. And if you fly United, they don't have really a wireless feature, but they have like United Wireless, which you can't do anything outside the United app, like Twitter or whatever. But you can watch, use their streaming service and watch movies or TV. And they had a lot to select from, and because I was sort of tired at the time, I said, I'm going to watch something that I haven't watched. I mean, that I have watched, and I could just kind of watch it half-ass. So that was my way over there, and then got some sleep. Me and Barb crashed out and woke up and had breakfast the next morning, and then called Micah, and he picked us up, and we headed over to the Museum of Natural History that they have there, which had a good like dinosaur display, creepy crawly display, which I really enjoyed that. That was just like a fact-finding thing about spiders and parasites and stuff like that. I enjoyed that quite a bit. And they had a lot of other displays that were very into, entertaining, especially the Native American display with the different. It had stuff on the Navajo and the Apache and all their leaders and stuff like that, the Comanche, and really cool stuff. Read a lot of it. Can't believe how much the white man did to these people. It's just disgusting. And then when they did get somebody reliable, when that person passed or left office, they got treated like shit again. Yeah, it's not good. And they were here. This is their land. We're the immigrants, which we should be all kicked out. According to Trump, he should be kicked out. He's an immigrant. But let's get back to focus here. So yeah, we went to that museum. That was cool. We had a good dinner at the Dish. We met Luke Foster. We got our tickets and passes for the next day. Luke Foster, and he introduced us to two of his friends that were staying with him at SCAD. And her name was Ariel, and she's an artist on the Six Gun. I think it's called Shadow Riders, coming from Oni now, but she had done a Six Gun mini. Really interesting couple. They met at SCAD. I think one was in another branch and one was in the Carolina branch. A husband and wife, and they got married, and the husband is named Nick, and he came from Colombia, and now they moved back to Colombia, and they worked together to finish this Oni book. Really cool couple to meet. We had a great meal at the Dish. The Dish is my favorite spot to go to. Absolutely love eating there. And the nice thing about staying at the Hilton right there is it's right across from the street from the convention center, so it's a hop, skip, and just go walk across the street, you're there. And I'm talking about like cross one light and you're there, entering the backside of the convention center, and then you walk a while in the convention center to get to where the HeroesCon convention is. But it's really convenient. The other thing that's really nice about staying there is they have a shuttle, and it'll take you anywhere within 3 miles. And that's how we get to the Dish, because it's kind of out of walking distance. But really cool dinner we had there. Great meal. I think is had the best key lime pie I think I've ever had in my life. And good times. Luke was there. The couple was there, and Micah and Claire was there. Unfortunately, Bill was not there. He's usually with us, and maybe a few other people from time to time. But it was really good, and Alan hadn't come in yet. But we got our tickets. We went back to the room, and we had a good time talking and all that stuff. So that was a good day. Thursday was a good relaxing day, a good day to get stuff, talk to friends. And then Friday opened up, and Friday we had breakfast, and I don't get in line right away. Everybody gets excited to get there, go get commissions. I'm like a relaxed. I probably got there an hour and a half after it opened. Walked around a little bit. One of the first things me and Barb did was go to the CW booth, which we go to every year. I usually win a t-shirt, and they have this thing where you drop the thing down and it falls, and they have like I forget what they call that damn game, but it's on the Price is Right. And if you get a t-shirt, and I usually time it right and can get a t-shirt almost every time, this time I didn't. But Barb got a t-shirt, so she got a Riverdale t-shirt, and I did not. But we both, this year they had a Black Lightning hoodie. Okay, this is kind of important. And you couldn't win this thing, but they just said if you text Lightning to this number, we'll draw a name every day, and you could win a Black Lightning hoodie. So I texted it, and I was like, "Yeah, I can win." And Barb did it too, but I ended up winning a Black Lightning hoodie, which was very cool. And I'm gonna have to take a break because I anticipated Barb would be at Sprouts from 6 to 6:30, and Costco until 6, but she wrapped things up early. Under an hour, which is very unlike her. And now I'm gonna help her bring some stuff in, and I'll be, what? She says I'm fine. So I'm gonna go ahead and continue. But anyway, that night, I got texted, and I won a Black Lightning hoodie, which was very cool. That day we spent with Alan, and we met up with Daryl and Chris. And I think it was Friday, maybe it was Saturday, but we met at Carolina's bar. I that might have been Saturday. So Friday, I'm not sure we ate with them. I am really not sure. But we did see them, Campbell and Daryl and Hassan and Alan for sure. We talked to Alan a lot, and Claire and Micah, of course, the usual group again. And I found out that Zach, the guy I get commissions from, the Watchmen and the Suicide, all the ones that I've gotten, was there, Zach Bassett. And but I couldn't find his table, but I eventually found it. And he had commissions for a steal. A matter of fact, I think I'm the only one that got commissions from him. They're $50, and he did them on these color papers. And if you get a chance, or if you want me to send you the commissions I got from him, they were $50, which was fantastic. I got a Sergeant Rock that was amazing, and a Ghost Rider, and they were just absolutely beautiful. So the other thing I got to talk to him about is potentially doing a comic book for me. So I still have to coordinate that, but if everything works out, I'll have an artist lined up. And I also have a letter, which is a friend, which I'll announce at a later time if everything works out. But things are starting to look good on that Guesser comic. And so what else happened that day? Oh, that was the day I bought some comics. So I didn't know. Well, I bought a comic. I didn't know what I was gonna target. I was thinking Amazing Spider-Man was at 129, which is the first Punisher, but I ended up going to this. I think it was, I can't remember if it wasn't Superworld. It was some other place that Campbell took me to, and we went kind of like shopping. And the owner there had he had so much good things, and he actually had. I talked about this in Mike M's Weekly Reads a long time ago, and it was in one of the documentaries. I think it was the Robert Kirkman documentary, one of those documentaries about All Negro Comics, which is the first African American comic book that was ever published. And the thing that was very interesting, it was all done by African Americans, and it was successful enough for them to continue. But the white publishers found out about it and they decided they didn't want this African American team to publish any more comics, even though issue two was almost already in the can. So only one issue came out. Well, anyway, this dealer, and I'll have to ask Campbell who it was, had that comic. And you don't know how tempted I was to buy that thing, but it was 3 grand. But you don't know how rare this is and what a historical, monumental issue this is. I have a copy of it, but it's not the original. And this would have been the original. And a lot of those copies were destroyed. So, oh man, you don't know how my eyes popped out of my head when I saw it. But I noticed that I knew that I didn't have the first Jonah Hex, okay? I was missing the first appearance and the second appearance, and then like issue, which is All-Star Western 10 and 11. And then I was missing like 80 something, 88 of Jonah Hex first volume. And then I have all of the Jonah Hex series, even the Vertigo stuff, with the exception of the digests that were reprints that came out, which I may seek out just to be a completist. But I was able to get the All-Star Western number 10, which is the first appearance of Jonah Hex, in very fine condition for a spectacular cost. So I was very, very pleased with that purchase. I thought it was an amazing cost. It was way better. You know, like when I go purchase at a con, well, I'm not afraid to like look up prices in front of the person that's selling. So while the guy was showing me the comics, I was on eBay, I was on mycomicshop.com looking at prices of what this was. And then I was like, man, this is something that I need to buy. I need to buy it now. So the other thing I bought is two Black Hawk issues. These were later issues. I bought Black Hawk 157 and 179. This was from Rich, Tomorrow's Treasures. These were $10 each. These were really nice copies, and I probably could have thumbed through some more, but that's what I purchased that day. And got a really good deal on this All-Star Western. It was marked at 225, and the guy sold it to me for 190. It was a really good discount for somebody that never bought anything at that place before. But I'm gonna go again for sure to this place. And I just wish he had more of the stuff that I was looking at. I was hoping he'd have more. Like I was also wanting to get a appearance of the Golden Age Ray, because I already have the Human Bomb. The Human Bomb, Phantom Lady, and Plastic Man were easy from Quality Comics because it's a one kill. You could buy a Police comic and get all of their appearance. And I have like two issues of Police comics. I already have the National Comics. I have Doll Man. I have another feature comics which features Doll Man. So I have a couple appearance of Doll Man. Those issues I bought here locally. And then I had a Black Condor, which I got as a gift from my podcasting brothers. And who else was I missing? But anyway, I have all their appearances now because I purchased on the next day an issue of specifically I put Smash Comics number 25. This issue features the Ray on the cover, and he's hitting like a parachuting enemy who's got like fire. He's lighting a house on fire, and the Ray is stopping him. And then it also appears Bozo the Robot, Espionage the Jester, and Midnight. So that was a 10-cent book way back in the day. Picked that up for a little under $200, a really good shape. So I accomplished another goal. I now have a Golden Age appearance of my favorite team, the Freedom Fighters. One or more appearances of their, and then I have all their appearances after the Golden Age. So the next day, as far as purchases go, I purchased another key issue, and I posted on Twitter. I was looking at this. I've been getting a lot of appearances of the Legion of Superheroes. And one of the Legion of Superheroes that I really wanted was one of my favorites. It was Ultra Boy, and his first appearance is in Superboy number 98. I was really looking for this, and I found this one at Heroes. Heroes are hard to find booth, and I got it for a good price. It's probably fine condition for like $100 range, and I was really happy to pick that up. And then another comic that I got. I think on Saturday, me and Barb went to go talk to Bob Franz, and he was sitting with Drew Moss. We spent a lot of time talking to Drew. At least I did. Drew is he is the funnest and most humble artist you will ever meet. Like he is just fun to be with, and he always has people at this table because of that. And Bob is one of his friends. He wasn't there tabling, but he has a new comic coming out soon. I don't know who the publisher is gonna be, but it's called Metal Shark Bro, and I actually got him to sign it along with the artist. And it's a preview. So Bob Franz was written it, and the art is by Walter Ostilli, and he was tabling there as well, and I realized he was doing a book from Scout Comics that I was already purchasing, so I talked to him a little bit about it. Really good day, and that was the day we ate at Carolina's. I think it was either Friday or I think it was Friday or Saturday. And that was the day I was drunk. I was drunk for about 2 hours, maybe less. And I'm not drunk to like where the point where I can't walk. I just drank. I never drink. And every year I have the Golden Monkey, which is like a 9.5 alcohol content, and it gets me a little loopy. So we had a great meal there with friends. That was with Daryl, Hassan, Campbell. Who else was there? Micah, Claire, Barb. John, no, not John Thurman. John Wimmer. We spent a lot of time with John Wimmer. At least I did at the con. He walking around with, and he actually went to lunch with us that day. John is a guy we see there often, and we talk too often, and he hangs out with us sometimes. Matter of fact, a few cons ago, we went to downtown where they were having like a farmers market and parade. I don't know what it was, but a lot of vendors were out there. And he went with us at that time too. That was a great time. But anyway, we see him, and John collects Sergeant Rock commissions. That's his thing. Like he gets a commission of Sergeant Rocks every year. We spent a lot of time with John. And then Alan was, of course, with us. Oh, and Michael Batesel, and I call him M. Bats, and his friend Connor were with us. We spent a lot of time with Michael, M. Bats, and Connor. They were with us quite a bit. It was a lot of fun. I think that night too, most of us went to the Midnight Diner, which is the first time I ever went there. Campbell and Daryl and Hassan go there quite a bit. But I didn't go with them this time. I went with our little group, and we had a really good time. And that night we got to see Alan juggle, which was really cool because we go back to the hotel, and we have a nice hotel because we get the two room. So like we have the bedroom, and that's a place we could like close the door, and then we invite friends over, and it's got a huge conference table, and we all hang out there, and we all get like snacks and stuff like. The day we were with Micah and Claire, we went to Walmart. We bought all kinds of candy bars and chips and waters and drinks and all kinds of stuff. So we had our hotel stocked up. Not with beer. Most people would get beer, but we don't drink. So, and that I think one of those nights, Sean Pryor actually showed up with Daryl and Campbell. They came hang out with us for a while at and Hassan, just to sit and chat. It's always great to chat with Sean Pryor. He was tabling there. I also found out This is the first year that I paid attention to not the bidding thing for the art. I don't ever go to the art auction on. I went once and I didn't like it. It was hot and everybody's overbidding and things go that you want go into the thousands and it's just like this bidding war. And I was like, but everything that doesn't get auctioned off that on Sunday gets presented on Sunday in the afternoon in different sessions, and you can auction off stuff. Oh, the other person we met up with at that time that hung out with a little bit was JP. We see JP there a lot. JP's a lot into the G.I. Joes and the He-Man, and actually saw him at the auction, which was the next day, and actually got a Zach Bassett piece. So I actually got it a piece. So I actually bid on something, believe it or not. I bid on other things, but I was bidding way low on Sunday. I just sat there. I met a friend, another Ariel, except this is a guy who went to the con by himself. And we started talking about, he was bidding on a lot of pieces. A very entertaining guy. Had a good time chatting with him. And JP was there. JP was there to bid on a Skeletor piece that was there. They had a lot of good pieces. And the other interesting thing is that I didn't know is you can actually volunteer to draw something and see if it gets auctioned out. So hell if I know, I might try to draw something at some point and see what happens. I mean, worst case, it doesn't get auctioned, but who cares? And it's going to Heroes, which is going to use the money for paying for the rental space the next year, so that's cool. Yeah, it was a great time. The Midnight Diner was good. We ate at Mertz one afternoon. We ate at the Wings place one day. Same crew. Except they didn't have the Red Dragon sauce that I usually like. It's my favorite sauce at this Wings place. I was kind of bummed out about that. And Mike didn't get his Buffy Slayer wings either that day. But he got them the day before, so at least he got his Slayer wings. What else did we eat? Oh, Mertz. I had the veggie plate, even though it wasn't really veggies, because everything's cooked in bacon. But I don't remember if I had the two veggie. I can't remember, or three veggie. What did I have there? Do you remember I had the mashed potatoes, the green beans, and the macaroni and cheese, and then the cornbread was the cornbread was amazing. Did I get dessert there? I can't remember. Oh yeah, I ate banana pudding. It was fantastic. I gained so much weight. I ate a lot. Yeah, after my healthy veggie plate. But had a matter of fact, Chris Parton and his group was sitting across from us, so I saw them there. Didn't really talk to him much. What else was going on? That about wraps up a lot of stuff. Oh, I saw Martin. Except Martin didn't see Martin Long, and I never saw him at the con. So here's how that went down. Campbell texted me, which was cool of him, and said, "Hey, me, Martin, and Daryl in Hawson are gonna go drink at the Westin." And this was like at 2 o'clock on Saturday. And he said, "You want to join us? We're just gonna hang out for a bit." And everybody else was at the con, but I decided to go meet Martin. And we had a good time talking and chatting at the con. I didn't have anything to drink because I already drank that day, and that was enough for me to have my Golden Monkey. And I pretty much sobered up fast as soon as I started looking at comics again. We did see David Price and Vince. Didn't go to any panels. I didn't see any that really. There was maybe one or two that I was sort of interested in, but I didn't get to it. I didn't get to really. We met Dean Stahl, so we've seen Dean Stahl, and of course Luke was tabling there, Drew Moss, Sean Pryor. Those are the people that I knew that I was like hanging out with that were actually tabling there. Of course, Zach, I talked to him a lot. Zach is like this super talent that I'm just waiting for him to break out. I really am. I think he has a lot of potential, and people just haven't gone to him. So I highly recommend if he's ever tabling to go get a commission and tell him I sent you. And if you want samples, text me. I'll send you samples. I have lots of samples. So, good flight back. On the flight back, I didn't read either. I downloaded, I can't remember the name of the movie. Was it 47 Feet Under? 37 Feet Under, 40, I think it's 47 Feet Under, which was a shark movie. And I downloaded two episodes of the rest of the Toys That Made Us. Except when I was at the convention, I actually saw one of them on the morning before we actually left for our flight. I watched the let's see the transfer. The Lego one. The Lego one was outstanding. Highly recommend watching the Lego one. There's a lot to be learned on that toy and how that came to be and all the bankruptcies that they might have went through. It was really fascinating. And the Hello Kitty one was okay. It just I never have been into Hello Kitty. Micah is big into Hello Kitty, but I've never been into that property. But it is an interesting documentary, even if you're not into the property. So I watched that, and then I watched the shark movie, 47 Feet Under, and that was a good movie. The acting was one of the actresses that was the main character was a little over the top, like forced, it seemed like, rather than, but it was still good. Matthew Modine was in it, believe it or not. Hadn't seen him in years. But what this involved was two sisters. One sister was in a hardcore relationship and her boyfriend dumped her, and he dumped her hard. He basically said, "I'm bored with you." So they decide to go to a trip to Mexico or somewhere around there. And they're enjoying themselves and they meet two guys there, and the guys are they had a really good time with these guys. And one of the guys says, "Hey, have you ever seen sharks up close?" And they said, "No, but it'd be interesting." It says, "Well, we could do diving and go in one of those cages and you'll see all this stuff." And they go on that, and that just turns into a disaster, because the guys go under and everything's fine, and they bait the water, which is illegal, so they shouldn't bait the waters, which draws the sharks in. And then the girls go under, and everything's copacetic. The one girl's a little panicky. She has no business being down there anyway because they said we want experienced divers. She's never even dived. They just teach her everything there. She doesn't even know what the bends are. And they go diving, and they're only like, when I think when they drop them in on the cage, you're only like 10 feet down. It's not far. Like you could even see the bottom of the ship. And they baited the water and everything was cool, but the cable just snapped and it dropped them, and the rest of the adventure is them having to deal with it. And it has a pretty surprising ending. I enjoyed that movie. I'm a sucker for shark movies, and I thought the ending was really creative in what they did. I didn't see it coming. So yeah, the trip was really good. Oh, I forget the one of the best nights. Okay, I can't believe I forgot this night. This was one of the best nights. So the regular crew, me, Barb, Micah, Claire. I don't even remember if Basil was with us. No, I don't. When we went to the Italian place, Night Spaghetti. I don't think he was. It was just Alan. It was just the five of us. So it was just the five of us that night, and or no, you were there, of course. Oh, that's still five. We went and ate at Italian place. This is a place called Bricks. We eat there every year. We enjoy it. They used to have like cool things like music, bingo, and all kinds of cool stuff, but they stopped doing that. That was fun stuff because you could actually win stuff. And We had a great time, and then Campbell says, "Hey, I found a foosball table." Okay, so we're always talking shit about foosball, me, Keith Knutson, and Daryl. And he says, "We're just around the corner." And they literally were just around the corner. So we went there, and sure enough, they were there, and Campbell already had the foosball table, although one of the handles was sort of broken until we got the bartender guy to like d duct tape it, because the little circular rotary thing where the handle goes into was loose, and it would keep popping out, and you would like lose. It was very detrimental to the offense because it was the three-man one, and it was a dark, dark bar, so it wasn't well lit, and they had like a disco light, so it would go like psychedelic every now and then, so it would be hard to see from the shadows and stuff everything that was going on, but you get used to it. It just takes you a while to adapt. But we played 2-on-2. Micah was paired with Campbell, and then I was playing with Daryl. So we started off. Daryl was playing the front man, and I was playing the goalie. And I think we played like 4 games, maybe 5 games with Micah before Micah left, because he had to go back to his house. And I think they won the majority. I think me and Daryl won 2, and they won 3. We had better luck when we switched sides. So we were originally the black guys, and there was the yellow guys, and the yellow had a little bit well lit, little bit advantage for lighting, in my opinion. So when we went over to the other side, it was kind of game changing for me and Daryl. We started to play a little bit better. So they took the better part of that, and then when he left, Hassan came and played with Campbell, and then we took the better part of it, and then Daryl got tired. And me and Camel played solo, and we only got, I think we only played like 2 games, but I won, and the second one was very close. Like we were both on the last bead. I think the advantage that I have over Campbell is my strength is the goalie. So I'm more of a defense. I can score from the goalies and do stuff, and his strength is in the front men. Like together we'd make a really good team, but when we were playing solo, I think I had the advantage because I was able to do better defense, and the table was not the best table either. But man, I had a blast. I think I was there for 1.5 hours, maybe 2 hours, before we left. I even played some Space Invaders. I got to play my favorite game, Tron, back in the day. So it was like a retro arcade bar. It was a lot of fun, and then walked back, and I think I went to sleep. But that was a lot of fun. I wish Knutson could have been there, because we talk a lot of shit about foosball, and finally got to the foosball. What the one thing I wish we would have played though is they had an air hockey table too. I mean, it was in use to be for all purposes, but it would have been nice to play a few rounds of air hockey, as well as the basketball game, but mostly played foosball, but it was a hell of a lot of fun, and I really enjoyed myself. So that was the Heroes Con wrap up of 2018, and as you can see, I spent a heck of a lot of time with friends just hanging out outside of the con. If I look at the con entirely, I was probably there 8 hours. For all 3 days, which means like I was there roughly one day of the 3 days, but I was really there like 3 hours here, and then the next day 3 hours, and then 2 hours or something to that effect. I did buy a Phantom Lady t-shirt too, so I did buy a t-shirt. They had a lot of public domain t-shirts, and Phantom Lady is one of the freedom fighters and one of the characters that I really enjoy, and I got to learn something from the lady there. But a matter of fact, I forgot the name. She repeated it to me and says, "You're gonna forget it." And I'm like, "No, I won't," but I did. The white dots. But let me see if I can find his name because it'll come back to me. Yeah, his name is Matt Baker. I think I actually own this reprint from Vertitech. I should credit myself on this. But the Phantom Lady, the interesting thing about Phantom Lady, let me see, was it Fox? I'm trying to find out what was her publisher. Yeah, it was Fox. As the artist was African American, and I did not know that. Matt Baker. A matter of fact, I'm gonna Google him after this. But she appeared from Fox Publishing, and that's where Blue Beetle started. If you really want to go back, Blue Beetle, Dan Garrett didn't start with Charlton. Ted Kord did. Blue Beetle started with Fox. So it's interesting how Fox and quality and all this stuff, all the history of these characters came about. But at some point, that is one book that I am missing, a Phantom Lady. I have Phantom Lady by default because of Police Comics, but I don't have. Let me see when Police Comics came out, because Phantom Lady was appearing in 47 to 49. So if we go to Police Comics, Phantom Lady was before that, 41 through 53. So Fox must have taken over whatever Police Comics was. And interesting enough, my database doesn't say their quality at the time. That's where Firebrand came from too. So if you guys were All-Star Squadron fans, you'll know of the Firebrand was there. Well, Firebrand came from Police Comics as well. So another tidbit. I did look at some. I always look at Golden Age books, and I was almost to pull the trigger on a Alan Scott Golden Age book. I kind of regret not doing it, and I was looking at All Flash, which was a Jay Garrick one. I came very close, but I was kind of already spent. Oh, and I did buy a commission from Ariel because I got an Ultra Boy first appearance. I thought, why not get a commission from her, which I met at, through Luke. Why not get a commission from her? And I did, and it came out really good. I told her a little bit about the character, his arrogance, his ability to use one power, and she drew a cool where he's flying because his Legion flight ring, and he put turns on his invulnerability and smashing his head into a comet. But really came out nice. Oh, and I got to see Shannon Gallant, and Shannon is awesome to talk to, and another artist alongside Drew Moss that I just love to talk to. And what I love about Shannon, and I if I had known if I could find him, I would have got a commission for sure. And I had talked to him about a commission. He's really into retro stuff. So like he one thing that's really cool about Shannon is he's known for G.I. Joe. So if you, most of the people, I'd say that 80 to 90% of the people that go to him go for G.I. Joe, a real American hero, because he's been doing that with Larry Hama forever. And he did the G.I. Joe $6 Million Man that just came out between IDW and Dynamite. And he always does these cool things, which are like sketches that he just does, and then he puts them in folders and sells them for, I think it's like 5, 10, and 20. Well, I went through the $10 one, and I found two really good commissions. Well, Shannon's like, that one you probably won't like because it's got no G.I. Joe stuff. I said, come on, Shannon, you know me better than that. I'm not big into the G.I. Joe. I mean, I get it and everything, but I'm not like looking for G.I. Joe characters. I'm not that close to them. So what I ended up getting was a Twiggy and the vampire from Buck Rogers, and it says something like, "What the buck is this guy?" You know, like it's really cool, funny. And then I got the monkeys because I was a monkeys fan. I used to watch all of their stuff in syndication, and he did a really cool. It's called Sunday Bloody Sunday. retro piece, and I picked up that commission. And then I talked to him briefly, which I have to hit him up for. I asked him if he would do a commission for me outside of the con, and we talked about it, so that might happen. But I was talking about, because he's really big into retro things, I was like, why not get the women of my dreams from growing up? And that was Erin Gray, Farrah Fawcett from Charlie's Angels, Erin Gray from Buck Rogers, Linda Carter from Wonder Woman, and the Bionic Woman. Can't think of her name. So I was thinking about getting a jam piece with those four characters, and we'll see if that comes into fruition. But yeah, I had a fantastic time, and the other thing that was great about it, no con crud. Probably because I had the crud before I went to the con. And luckily, I went to the doctor a second time, and the meds finally kicked in and started working, and everything worked out well. But I found some new places to buy comics from. I was incredibly impressed with the guy that sold. And man, I'm so tempted to buy that comic. If it's just such an historical book that if he still has it, it'd be a nice piece to have. So, I want to thank you for listening. I'm not going to do a Mike M's Weekly Reads. I wanted to do this Heroes Cons wrap up and talk to you about the people that I saw. The other thing that was happening is I'm part of a Facebook group, which is really fun. It's called the Podcasting Partners, and they kind of only let the podcasters that are invited into this world, and I didn't get to meet any of them, but they seem like a fun group, and they ate at some place when we were eating at the dish, and I was invited, and I didn't get to hook up with any of them. The only one that I actually have met in that group is Ed Moore, and Wendy. The rest of them I have never met in person, but it sounds like they had a blast, and it would have been fun to meet them. It's just that they were at the con, and I never was at the con, so it was really hard to meet with everyone. There was so much I missed. Like I'd go down the other thing I was really surprised about is like Joelle Jones didn't have a line, and she was like almost like hiding. She didn't have a banner. She was like at the corner of a table. And if I would have known, shoot, I would have just taken all my Batmans and just gotten them signed. And I wouldn't have. I'm not one to sell anything. I would have just had them personalized to me. And my Lady Killers, just say, hey, can you sign my Lady Killers and my Batman? I'd love that. And she was real accessible. I could have just walked up and had that done. There was so many people there, like Bagley and Doc Shaner, and I didn't even talk to him. But I don't know. I'm weird. It's like I'd rather just be with my friends than actually meet new people, like artists and stuff. Charles Forsman was there, and I really wanted to talk to him. And he just always had like he didn't have a big line, but he always had one person there that was talking forever. And I didn't want to interrupt him because I was that person last year. Me and Bill talked to him for quite some time. Matter of fact, he thought I was fucking with him because I talked about his book, and he thought I was making fun of it, but I wasn't. But yeah, I had a great time. And next year, there's talks, but we'll probably go to Heroes Con. But I can't make any promises. But one thing we are going to try to do is maybe replace Heroes Con next year with C2E2, just so I can meet. Well, Bill's there, so that's one really plus side. And then, so he doesn't have to come to us, we go to him. And then, the Nerdy Legion guys go there, so it would be great to meet them because I'm really good friends with them, and that would just be a lot of fun. So, we'll see how that goes. This year's cons, probably won't go to any more, but we'll see if work frees up and there's a weekend, I will check that out. I did have. My comic shop guy, there's two guys that work there. Ed is his it's Ed's Cars and Comics, but he has a guy that works there named Michael, and he did a show in at Denver Comic Con, which is the same weekend that Heroes Con was on. And I asked him how he did, and he said that he would probably never do it again. And there was a lot of people in that boat because it just costs so much to table and pay for internet and stuff, and then rent the U-Haul that it wasn't worth it when it came down to selling stuff. Like, his best day was Sunday, and he still was $1,000 in the hole after all said and done. That's a lot of money to be in the hole. And he said there was other vendors that were in that boat. So I don't know if people just weren't buying stuff. And I got that feel. Like, I think Dean Stahl wasn't happy with his output. I'm not sure Luke was happy with how much he sold at Heroes. So I don't know what is happening. Maybe people are saving for the art auction. I don't know. But it'd be interesting if, like, I could talk to how do the people do at the show. I know Campbell bought a lot of books, and so did Hawson. Hawson buys a lot of art. Oh my God. I'm glad I'm kind of out of that world as far as, like, I don't usually go. I did one from Ariel just because I met her, but I don't usually go outside my given people, like Shannon Gallant, Drew Moss, my Zach Bassett. I stay within my same circle of art friends. Andrew Peepoy, of course, but he wasn't there. He's usually just at Baltimore. But yeah, I was really, really pleased. Yeah, Hawson got some amazing pieces. I mean, expensive pieces, but fair, I think fair for what he was asking for. Like, a lot of them, I was real happy with his pieces. So, like, if I was to pay for those prices, some of them were a little out of my range, but I don't see them being out of the range because of the n amount of characters that the person had to draw. But his pieces were pretty freaking phenomenal. So it was good looking at his art profile. There was an interesting exchange of art as this piece that Campbell bought. So Campbell actually got a Joelle Jones page and got it signed and personalized to him. And there's a lot of history behind this piece of art. So this piece of art was being held for Tom. For Tom King, but he never went in on it. Like, he never answered the emails or committed to it or anything. So they let it go to Campbell, but I think it was promised to some other lady if Tom didn't get it. And I think her name is Candace. I don't know her very well, but she's a good friend of. It's either Cadence or Candace. I can't remember her name. But it's a good friend of Daryl's and Campbell's. But interesting enough, I asked to see Haas. Haasen carries around this big art portfolio. It's a really nice portfolio that you buy at like Michael's or whatever. Those black ones with the black things around it. And I asked, could I see your Outsiders? Because he said I had a Batman and Outsiders, and that's like a commissions I like to get. So I went to go look at his piece, and that Candace saw the piece and she said, "This piece is a great piece by Joelle Jones, but it wasn't my favorite piece of art because it's pretty much Wonder Woman and Batman eating chicken wings in like a 9-panel spread in that the post-apocalyptic world that they were fighting in this endless fight." And it's well drawn, but it's not like the best action piece. It's more of a sentimental piece. And if you're into chicken wings, it's probably a good piece to have. But Campbell got it. Nice piece. I think it's his first Joelle Jones piece. And he was pretty happy with it. Oh no, Harley's got the cuckoo eyes. And so anyway, when he was showing me the Batman and Outsiders, Campbell said, "Look at this piece I got." And Candace said, "How'd you get that piece? the guy who was the art dealer for Joelle Jones was supposed to save it for her if Tong King didn't get it, and he had sold it to Campbell. And the funny thing is Campbell ended up selling it back to her for what he was paid for it, and she ended up with the piece that was personalized to Campbell, but she took it back to Joelle Jones and had him cross out Chris and write her name on it. So it had that piece of artwork had an interesting story behind it. Now it has an even more interesting story, just like Batman, Chris's Batman book that was beer was spilled on it. And I think that comic that when I bought All Star Western was from the guy that sold Chris the Batmans that got full of beer. So that's an interesting link too. So my All Star Western came from that same guy. Well, I hope you enjoyed the episode. Again, you can reach me at mike@comicbooknoise.com. That's where you send me email, or at Twitter at Mike Myers Brunch. And Facebook is Geek Brunch Podcast with spaces in it. Click the like button, follow all the episode threads there. You can also go to the website at geekbrunchpodcast.com. You can leave an iTunes review at Geek Brunch Podcast and leave a review and rank the show. Rank any of the shows, and if you like a show's particular, put it in the comments. A lot of people probably don't use iTunes anymore, so it's a lot to ask for. But if you don't do that, you could always send me feedback or comments. And the next episode, I'll probably be answering questions because I got a slew of questions to go through. So I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Heroes Con wrap up. I hope I didn't miss anything specific. I took a lot of great pictures. Hang out with a lot of good friends. It was good to see them all again, and we spent a lot of time with a bunch of the friends. Wish I could have spent more time with Daryl and Campbell. It wasn't as much as I would have liked, but it was good. We had a few meals together and got to see each other at our room and do some buying of comics together, which was fun, and got to talk to Martin. I did give him a nice pat on the ass, the Nerdy Legion official grab ass handshake. And we'll talk to you again soon. See ya. Bye.